Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you very much for being here and choosing to put radio in your ear. Maybe some TV, supertalk.tv. Wow, I have a halo today for those of you who can come over and visit. You know you want to do that, so go ahead. Add a little bit to your media profile with me, the Garden Mama. Thank you so much for tuning into the Garden Mama show today. Good morning, Lance. Hope all is well with Hawk and your plants.
Oh, yeah, you know.
As long as he stays in the backyard.
What are you talking about here? No, he's doing well, and the plants are starting to recover a bit. I have gotten, I've been able to get some landscaping done, some stones put in, and some dig up some other stuff that had gotten uneven and water would sit. And
important.
So when you're giving
the dog his
every 4-hour shower, you don't have pools of water. But no, it's been a good week. The plants look good. We had enough rain that everything's green.
Very.
Man, I tell you, I've seen some beautiful yards out there. So folks, you are doing a good job. I mean, those that have
today's a great day for a blanket on the lawn.
Yeah,
you know,
I've seen some beautiful green yards.
Beautiful things.
So yeah, it's been nice, and it's been a great week too. You know, we had the big, Veterans Day, and just the D-Day deal, and it was a lot of fun.
The D-Day observance,
the observance, and we had
which, in case anybody doesn't know, is how come we can sit here and do this today?
Yeah, it was just an honor to be a part of our programming, and I want to say thank you for everybody that worked so hard all week to get all that done. And then we had a great, I know Steve Azar's golf tournament.
It's been a busy
week, and now you get the most fun you can possibly have is gardening with Garden
Mama.
Come on,
backyard.
Man.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I had a wonderful time Monday with friends at Lakeland talking about containers and how to repot plants and when to repot plants and whether or not, one of the dilemmas that always happens, and I'm looking at it right now, my lemon tree needs either a larger pot or to be root pruned. Well, I hate to root prune it because it's got so many fruits on it this year that I know if I do that in the autumn when I'm beginning to try to get it some fresh soil, not going to be so great. Here's what I'm doing to that, and this is something that I did not suggest in the program on Monday because, well, I don't know. I didn't get around to doing that. One of the things, if your plant is actually doing fine in its container, but it's a big old container, I will take a really nice knife that I use in the garden, not in the kitchen, and go around the edge of the pot and literally make sure that those roots are not connected to the container itself. Clay pots are more likely to do this than are plastic. In the case of the lemon, because it has fruit on it this fall, I'm going to do that. And I'm also going to begin to poke a few holes in it in the soil and add fresh soil that way, because I don't want to repot it, I don't want to unpot it, and I don't want to disturb it too much, but I do want to amplify its growing zone. So that's the sort of thing we talk about here on the Garden Mama Show, that and all of the cool things that Trey sends us. If you ever thought you were the only person who had squash or tomatoes or whatever else, flowers open while you were on that 1 3-day vacation that you took, it's true. He sent us a wonderful cartoon about that. It's true. The tomatoes do plot and they want to ripen when you're out of town. Let's the neighbors have your tomatoes. It's unfortunate. Nice temperatures up there, too, by the way. Really, really beautiful. Let's see. The plant that Scott wants to trim around looks like a gardenia, and it's pretty big. It has, to begin with, it was planted too close to the house, and it's all by itself. So it's bigger on the one side that he's trying to mow under, and the other side is just about to hit the house. So I'm going to look at this thing the same way you are, Scott. When it finishes blooming, I'm going to take and look at the center point, which is actually the trunk of the plant, and I'm going to take it off of the house, And then I'm going to take off most of that on the outside of it so you can mow around it, but also so that we get a columnar form instead of this sort of sprawly thing that you're having trouble mowing around. I can see why you would have trouble mowing around it. So that's what I would do. But I'm going to wait until the flowers come off. Then I'm going to do the pruning. It's going to be a little intense. It will be heavy. There will be a need to come back in and fertilize a little bit and give it probably some water if the summer is dry. But otherwise, I think it's a beautiful plant, and it's nice to have it there since it is by itself. Sometimes those plants, you know, stand up like soldiers. If you're joining me, speaking of roots and doing things to them, if you're joining us on supertalk.tv, you will see that there is a trowel going into the bottom of a very brown set of roots. That's the cereus plant that I told the folks at the program had been in its container for 20 years. When I went to repot it, I decided it needed a little more intense surgery, so I sent them a picture of that after the program so that they could see that I actually am serious. I do get in there and do a lot of work on it. Took those out, repotted it. It hasn't missed a beat. It looks great. It's in a slightly larger pot, not much, but one that I had hangers for. So it's really pretty, really nice. Just lovely. Betty is in Hattiesburg. Good morning, she says. Should I wait until spring to put weed killer on dollar weed? Thank you. Well, technically, we're still in spring. And dollar weed, if you wait until next spring and you don't do anything about the dollar weed, it's going to be a lot more places next year. Dollar weed is, of course, if y'all don't recognize that name, it's a stem and a leaf, single leaf generally on top of it. It will bloom occasionally with little white flowers right at that point, but usually this is a string of leaves. They go underground, they grow on top of the ground, and they are particularly happy in environments that are a little bit too damp, for example, for lawn grass. I had, when my garden bed had wet spots in it in the front, there were many years when I fought the dollar weed, and I don't fight it as hard now. I saw that there is a little bit in there, but it's not anywhere like it was the problem before. If you want to control dollar weed, you should do it when it's actively growing, and that's now. It's not easy to control, and if you just pull it, you end up making more because every place you pull it, the leftover rhizome will then just turn around and sprout because it's so determined to survive. So if you're going to use a weed killer, you're probably going to be doing something where you're painting it on, unless it's a big patch of it, in which case you might be able to spray. But I pulled out lots of that stuff, and I advise you to get after it if you've got a problem with dollar weed. Real important one. Pretty thing, but just not too happy. Oh, that's lovely. Paula from Dentville has some beautiful cut flowers. Lovely vase, too, by the way. There's some roses and some daisies, and it's very, 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 very late spring. You know, you'd like to, if you were going, for example, to someone's house, you'd love to see this on the table. You would also love to see it in your room if you were visiting, because it's a beautiful arrangement. Really, really sweet. Lovely, lovely. Y'all are so good. Such good gardeners. And you know what? Somebody said to me, you seem to have so much fun. You take so much joy in your job and talking to gardeners. What do you do when it's not so pretty and not so good? Well, that's part of it, too. But the figuring out what happened, the part that I call forensic horticulture, is really just as much fun for me. How do I get crabgrass out of my St. Augustine grass? You're going to need a selective process that I suggest you go and talk to someone at a local independent lawn and garden center, you know, lawn and garden center. I don't know what town you're in, and I can't call your name either because you didn't give it to me, but I would suggest that you go to a local lawn and garden center and talk to them about what you can do for this. There's a couple of different approaches, and it'll really depend on the amount of problem you have and how long the crabgrass has been giving you this problem. Some people wait 5 or 6 years, and it's really hard to get it out without just physically removing it first. So look and see what you can do, but talk to somebody locally who can take a look at a clump of your problem. Okay. Trey's got squash for everybody. No question about that. I guess I have to give the report. I picked the squash and it died. That was the end of the squash. Or that was the end of the crookneck squash. I have the other one is still, of course, making because it's a winter squash. They take more days to get there. I don't know how to tell y'all. That's a beautiful squash plant. Gosh, that's gorgeous, Trey. Thank you. That's, yeah, Paula's right. She says, when it's not so pretty, we sit around and talk about what we'll do the next season. My other favorite one is that every gardener will always tell you, you should have been here last week. It was great. It was so pretty. And that sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's not. Today I am also celebrating a couple of things going on in my garden that I hope that you're having in yours too. The tiger lilies have burst into bloom. They are one of the oddest plants. They don't really go with any of the rest of them. They're kind of if I had a choice, if I had a bed big enough, I would have them in one end and I would have the orange day lilies in the other end and something in the middle that they could fight over. You know what I'm, they're pretty aggressive once they get established. So I have them in a container where I have the Asiatic lilies, the traditional ones, in a bed, and they are just kicking it. They're so fragrant, and they have so many flowers on them. It's just been lovely, but there's too many of them. I'm going to have to do something to either make another bed or take some of those out and give them to somebody. But the other piece of the puzzle, of course, always, when things are blooming is, then what? And, of course, the next one in my garden happens to be the Delta Snow Phlox. It is absolutely beautiful. Robert Poor is blooming, the really pink one, and the white one has just begun. Lovely, lovely plants and things other people can't grow. We're lucky here. We have many more things that we get a chance to grow that other folks don't. Do you remember when you first saw African violets? I was a kid. And there was this big old bowl of fuzzy leaves on the table at my grandmother's friend's house. I wanted to touch it, but I knew better. You know, when you're a kid, sometimes you think, I really want to go sit on that furniture because you know they don't want you to sit on it. So, any rate, the best part about all of that was that I got to appreciate African violets because they were always blooming in her house. But I thought they were weird. The things that she said, you can't get any water on the leaves, you can't put them outside, you can't. I said, where do these things come from? Well, of course, they don't come from North Louisiana where I was raised. But they kind of don't come from anywhere that where we live, but we grow them as indoor plants because they do have real sensitive, they need a very dry air, they need very dry environment because of those furry leaves. They're called hirsute, and they are very much that way. They're very hairy. So I didn't realize until much later that the reason there were little bowls underneath these containers was because there's a wick going from the soil. This is such a serious thing. They don't even put water in the soil except rarely. They just let it draw up what it needs from the wick system that they've got underneath it. Well, this is real clever. And I'm going to say people have done this. It has been popular, but it's going to come back. We've got busy people and plants that need to be attended to but can't get attention on a regular enough basis. So I'm going to say, I'm just going to make this prediction. I think that wick pots and wick systems are going to show back up next year and I'll probably do what I can to help that happen, but they're going to show back up in some fancy magazine or some big botanic garden will have a show about it. And why not? Why not, huh? Bubba's in Starkville. He says, it took a while, but he pulled all the crabgrass out of his yard, and it never came back. And I will say that I have no problem with that. That's very real, as long as you then continue to grow the lawn healthy and happy so that it can avoid the other problems, which obviously he did. That's fun. Tiger lilies, they're so sweet. You're right about that. Yes, I did say my squash died. They have relatives that the plants turned yellow. There's heat, there's cool, there's bugs, there's this and there's that. I personally have a terrible track record with squash in about the last 15 years. I haven't been able to do it as well as I used to. But that's okay, because guess what? I have access to a farmer's market and lots of homegrown besides my own squash. There it is. Oh, and by the way, somebody sent me some cool stuff about chickadees after I said that the chickadee is now my spirit animal. I like that. It was a really cute card. It was very sweet. And I appreciate that. You know, people who do radio don't necessarily always feel like there's anybody listening. And you do talk, but you also have to be talking kind of for your own self in some ways, because it's, you have to be sure that you're saying something that means something, that you're not wasting anybody's time, and that you're enthusiastic about what you're talking about. I mean, there's other real serious rules about how to talk like this. But when other people come to you and say, I read your book, your heart warms. When people say, I heard you talk about this, my heart warms 10 times over. And it's just real sweet. There's the secret lives of tomatoes, y'all. If you're on supertalk.tv, you can thank Trey for that one. That's a good one. The Garden Mama group on Facebook is full of questions without photos. So I'm going to be dropping those in today. I told them all to listen, and I trust they will. Scarlett wants to know if she can plant blackberries this time of year for a harvest next year. Yes. If you will go ahead and get them in the ground now, and don't buy, you know, don't buy little 4-inch pots, buy gallon containers with lots of nice branches in them. The canes that are coming out this year will be the ones that we'll make next year. So get them into the ground. If you're starting something where you're rooting something, or you're taking a clump from someone that's giving it to you out of their garden, they probably won't make berries the first year. But many of the berries that are grown in containers, and, you know, that you're going to plant like a gallon container, those are big enough. So, yes, go ahead and do that. You will have to make sure if it is dry this summer that you are giving them enough water. And I think, you know, that's kind of goes without saying. Nathaniel wants to know about ranunculus. Can ranunculus be successfully grown in Zone 8B in Jackson, Mississippi? Yes. I do not advise planting them now because the summer is too hot for them, but they are well planted at the same time you would plant Dutch iris in October or November. You can also grow them through the winter if you have a cover for them. Some people grow them in high tunnels for cut flowers, or for just because they like to grow them, they'll put a cover over them so they can cut the flowers a little bit later on, or like them in the garden a little bit later on, okay? I have so many other questions from people, so many things going on. Your calls and texts are always the first piece of business on this program. It's the Garden Mama Show.
Listen to the songs of the fathers and the mothers and the many friends gone on before. Turn the radio on,
turn the radio on,
turn the radio on,
turn the radio on.
Some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the Hallelujah Show. Get in touch with God,
get in touch with God.
Turn the radio on,
turn the radio on.
Turn the radio on.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year, or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Pickup truck.
Tell mama and all the folks back home. Sometimes a man just feels he's got to make it alone. Tell mama why I'm leaving so soon. Because this life I lead has got me sick through and through.
For those of you who are kind enough to listen to this program on a regular basis, you know that I am fond of mashing up bits and pieces of science as if it was actually ever going to come together in a particular fashion. This one has to. First of all, there's a story about wearable devices innovative materials and all of these things. We all, you know, how long have they been telling us that you could put your phone in your backpack and it would charge it up? And all these things are true, but they've been limited in their scope and limited in their ability. And so now we're looking at a new material that actually moves like skin. And the work's being done at Rice University have been very, very on top of this sort of effort for many, many years. What they would like to do is give us a next generation kind of wearable device, okay, so that there would be consistent wireless connectivity and battery-free functionality and all of these things that we would all like for any number of devices that we would like to run, right? Okay, let's take that and blow it up to the macro scale. Then when you see that, you know, everybody knows we waste food, all right, we do. We're human beings. We don't eat everything that we prepare nor everything that's around us. But if we improve refrigeration, you see where I'm going with this, we could save nearly half of the more than a billion tons of food that we waste each year globally. So what we need are new materials. What we need are things that can work better and be more functional and provide a refrigeration system that doesn't croak in 5 years, first of all, and that actually has capacity. I've been hearing people talk about refrigerators lately. Mine's fine. Don't worry about it. But the whole reputation of refrigerators is not what it once was. And therefore, I think we need innovative materials, as they would say. We need a better program. Why not, huh? I love it when someone says, help, Garden Mama. These are getting so big. Do I trim them? I don't want them to fall over. Yes, you have coleus. These are beautiful coleus. The really, really good news is that you can cut them back as much as half of that height if it's too big, or you can take entire stems off if they're too sprawling, and every one that you take off you can root and make another plant. So that's the coleus is one of those wonderful things that can be pinched off, cut back, and gives you more plants all summer long. In fact, I was I was eyeing some of the plants out in front of the building here today. Oh, that nobody, you know, it's okay. That's a nice one. Do you know when they let garden writers go to visit gardens, they do everything except search us? They presume that we won't violate the rules, which are no bags, no knives, no pruning implements, no seed collection, no nothing. Go by and just look at it. That's all you're allowed to do. Tracy, I think these are gorgeous, too. And by the way, it's a great choice to use that kind of aquamarine turquoisey pot and these beautiful coleus that are red and green. It's really a nice, nice contrast. I like it. Looks great. I have been looking at containers. I have a container full of petunias that actually needs to be picked up because I can tell it's rooting into the ground. It's probably 12 inches, 14 inches across, something like that. And I'm not going to be able to pick it up to protect it next winter. I do try to keep bubblegum petunias over. Most of the time they make it, but I give them a little insulated spot. It's not a plant that becomes a house plant too readily. So I'm having to think about how I'm going to pick that one up to get it to go somewhere else. Is this considered bragging when I tell you that my plants are doing well? Maybe a little bit. There's a study from the University of Georgia that tells us if you get nervous at work and start bragging, people don't think very much of you. Uh-oh. Who could we be talking about? No one here. Oh, my goodness. When work is occasionally stressful for everybody, we all get that. But you've known these people. If it gets stressful and they get antsy or they get anxious about it, they have to tell you. It's like, and yes, this is a mean joke, but it's only because a friend of mine who happens to be one told me this. How do you know people are vegans? They'll tell you. The same is true. People with anxiety are obvious. It's not, they don't necessarily tell you, but it's obvious that the stress of work is causing them to be stressed out. And sometimes that leads to what we refer to around here as too many words. There are other terms for it. But you say too much, you're demonstrative too much. And indeed, everybody's been guilty of it at some point. These researchers say that we've not only seen it, but we've also, if we look carefully, we've already done this. And indeed, we all need to stop because it can make you seem less competent than you are. Take a deep breath. That's their first recommendation. That's my first recommendation. As a person who tends to be extroverted, that means that I speak as I think. I had to learn early that I need to take a deep breath and think about what I'm about to say sometimes before I do that. Oh, my goodness. No, Jeff, you can't. Jeff says, here's the report. I cannot give my century plant away to the neighbors. No, you can't. It's one of those things that it'll make a baby after all this is said and done. You can dig that up and give that to the neighbors. But no, that's not going to work. One of the questions always, of course, is it's okay. I mean, what do you do about stress at work? And I don't mean to write this off because I've certainly been there. Many people say that the ulcers among people who work, for example, in offices are oftentimes not really the result of what they eat. It's something that the stress creates. We all understand that it is a treatable thing now. It's not like we used to believe that those were just things that you couldn't do anything about. Of course, you can treat ulcers. But the issue is what's causing you to get them, what's causing the problems. And in some cases, it can be stress. So if your issues are realize that your behavior is not benign, whether you are egging this person on or whether you are this person. So make things a little bit better. I saw a pin on someone's coat this week that said, be a nice human. I like that. I don't wear too many lapel pins, but I could wear that one. Be a nice human. Come on. You know you want to. The century plants, by the way, are starting to light things up. People are sending me pictures. I'm seeing them because other friends of mine, of course, are looking at them across the South. But I think it's going to be a beautiful year. I had no idea that really hot summer followed by absolute drought would send them into such a happy place, but it has. And I think we're going to be paying attention to that, very, very fortunately for us. Do you know that there are orchids that are very common, and one of them in the UK is a very, very common thing called the common spotted orchid. They name it common not because it's a value judgment, but because I guess it probably is to some people, but it is actually it means that it's widely distributed. They produce teeny tiny little seeds that go everywhere in the wind and on critters and, you know, just everything. But sometimes they just simply drop off of the plant and become a little clump next to the parent plant. How come? What is the reason? What is all this going on? Well, as we have done, we've been observing this since the times of Darwin. But the good news for us as growers is that what we've come to understand is these orchids actually have the network between the baby plants and the mama plants, so to speak, parent plants, that is, in fact, an exchange through the root zones of materials that are important, based, again, on those fungal networks that I keep talking to you about. I saw recently an event that's coming up somewhere. I can't tell you about it because I don't really know about it, but it was Dr. Elaine's Soil Food Web. You've heard me talk about her and the Soil Food Web for years because it is such an important thing. The way that the microlife nourishes itself in the environment is what causes the plants to be able to grow. It is what causes and gives the opportunity for the roots to live, and therefore the stuff on top of the ground do well for you, produce flowers or shrubs or trees or whatever it is. But it's the soil food web, the integration of those roots into the soil, that changes everything, because everything does change when you put roots into soil. So it's really exciting for us to understand that there's more and more research going on in that. And in this case, it's orchids. That this beautiful, sweet little native orchid is telling us a whole lot. It's why they're found in clumps. We understand now that the seeds are wind dispersed, and how do they end up in the same place right next to the plant? Well, sometimes that's because that's the way they're supposed to grow, and they do. We're also looking at some pretty good work that has come to us from the University of Copenhagen about how roots grow, in particular because we would like to know more about how they grow in drought and how we can make it work better. This is it's kind of the same thing if you know people who fast, or if you have ever fasted. Those of us who have, it's not me personally, but I know several people who have had the sort of thing where they want to eat all the time even though they're not hungry. That's another stress reaction to many things. But that's the sort of stuff. It's the same thing that if you fast because you're changing that behavior, then you have some benefits from it and there are some downsides. It turns out in this particular study that really getting to understand the way that these plants survive drought is to understand the same thing as fasting, to take in no energy and to survive on what is presently inside of them is a huge deal for people and also for plants. So fasting is, of course, very popular, but it's also true that in just in the same way that we talk about the orchids having the network in the fungal network between the parents and the children plants, we also have the same sort of thing in the root system. The root system itself has newer parts and older parts. And in fact, what they're working on, there's a thing called autophage that plays a big role in the cleanup mechanism. So while the drought's going on, there's an opportunity for other things to happen on a positive note that do not require the energy inputs that growth of the tree actually does, or growth of the plant. Kind of interesting stuff. Now we understand why the roots grow, what gets them to go, and how they are stimulated. Now we can keep them growing, or maybe in some cases we will want to slow them down. I think both of those things can be important. Well, Trey's just too busy this morning. Between the squash and the cucumbers, it's time for lunch, y'all. I don't know how to tell you this. I love that beautiful big blue pot, Mark, by the way. That's really pretty. That's a nice. I like they're olive urns, you know, they're the tall ones that are kind of round in the middle and have a bigger width at the top often than they do at the base. If you're going to plant those olive jars, if you're going to put anything in them other than maybe a fountain, you probably need to put a weight in the bottom, even if they have a hole in the base for drainage. You're going to want to make sure that the bottom is, that they're bottom heavy, not top heavy. It's important. It's important to know these things. Do you like cucumbers? I like pickles better than I like cucumbers. Today's Pickle Fest, by the way, for those of you who are driving down the road headed to Pickle Fest. Isn't that right? That's today, I think. I have been to a couple of different events like that. I haven't been to the one in here in Mississippi, but I've been to a couple of other. I went to a daikon festival once, more pickles than you could imagine. They were wonderful. But one of the things that has always come to me is that how universal the project of pickling really is. We want the taste. We want to preserve the vegetables. And I think actually there's just things that we need to do, things that we want to do that are the opportunity, for example, to add a crunchy, fresh element to something that might otherwise be kind of soggy, like chicken salad. No offense. It's my chicken salad, not yours, that's kind of soggy. I have to be careful. Chicken salad's a very big topic, you know. Very, very important. I did not know how much research was being done on tropical plants, but it's a lot. And I have to tell you that there are some really, really cool things that are being understood a little bit better, such as that the rarity of pollination, for example, is one of the things that I've always been impressed with about tropical plants. There are many more tropical plants than there are creatures to pollinate them. And what we are seeing now is that as things are changing, even in the tropics, plants are adapting and presenting themselves with, for example, flowers lower on the plant, flowers higher on the plant was the one that struck me in this particular article, so that the pollinating insects can either get to them more easily or get to them without being preyed upon by the other critters in the environment. It's pretty interesting stuff. I'm a really big fan of tropical plants, not just because of their there's literally everything in the world contained in them, but also because they bring such bold statements in many cases to our gardens, to our houses, and in some cases to our landscapes. One of the things I'm going to take hold of this summer, I believe, is the opportunity to figure out how many of our elephant ear type plants can actually make it in what kind of soil. So if you have input for that, send me a note, mamaonair@yahoo.com. And yes, here comes Lance's favorite number of the morning. Thanks, y'all. We'll be right back.
Everyone is helpful. Everyone is kind. When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.ms.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Shop the service.
For those of you who have not fallen in love with Leon Russell yet, please look up his music. You'll enjoy so much of it. All kind of great stuff in there, just fun things. Some things on the text line. Thanks, y'all, very much for putting in on that. When do we, the beautiful picture of the neighbor's daisies, the neighbor wants to share, because trust me, those daisies get thick fast. I can understand that. When to do this? Literally, as soon as the daisies have finished blooming, you can dig and divide them. We go back to the traditional advice to dig and divide in the opposite season from when the thing is blooming. And that's probably a good idea, except when it's not. So, for example, if there's a pleasant week where you are and it's a good week for digging and dividing plants, the daisies are going to be fine. However, they can stay right there and you and your neighbor can dig and divide them in the fall. Just again, you need to pick a good week for that when it's not storming, not 100 degrees, and a little bit more pleasant on you and the plants. But they need to get done. They need to get in the ground for next spring, sometime this fall, or they won't have a chance to bloom next year. Okay, that's the daisy business. You can do it sooner, but at least do it by this fall. Real important. Tracy has the most beautiful blue lace cap hydrangea. I'm in awe. That's just really beautiful. It's in Starkville. If you only have one lace cap, and I really like it because they just look so, I don't know, they're almost ethereal. They have a different, you know, we all grew up with big round-headed French hydrangeas, and they're beautiful. I love those. But the lace caps grow very similarly, except it looks like the flower has been flattened. And it has. In fact, the petals, the bracts that you see on the big one that fill that head are actually only around the edges of the lace caps, which is why it's called a lace cap. Anyway, real sweet, real pretty thing. Lovely, lovely plant. Oh, we have a multi-head sunflower. How come? That's interesting. It's a pretty picture, too. The good news is that you're fortunate, and I would save some seeds from that particular one. Here's why. The sunflower market has developed. We used to only just see gray mammoth, really, anywhere, and it was the one you grew for the big seeds. You would grow the plants, and then you would collect the seeds, for yourself or for your birds or whatever. Now we have lots of different varieties, some of which actually don't even make pollen, but I'm not in favor of that as much as I am the fact that this one branched, because branching sunflowers, giving you four or five flowers per stem, are a very, very wonderful thing. They're a development in the sunflower world. So I would save some seeds from this just in case that will grow another one that will do that. It's really, really pretty. Oh, thank you for your nice comments. We love the shirts. Yes, thank you very much. If you want a Garden Mama t-shirt, and yes, they are free, you should get in touch with me, mamaonair@yahoo.com. This is, another great comment. Use walnuts instead of pecans in the chicken salad to keep it from getting soft, because the walnuts take. I do actually. I eat walnuts. I prefer walnuts, and they're in everything. But the you're right that the pecans tend to be a little bit greasier, and therefore they will get a little bit. They'll get with the mayonnaise and get a little bit softer. That is true. This is such a good question. I love this. Can we grow Mexican petunias in Zone 8? the answer from the Ruellias, from the Mexican petunias, is try and stop me. Because they will grow. I have a white one and I have a purple one. There are also smaller versions of it that have been bred to be not 4 feet tall, which these tend to be. They're called dooryard plants because they are so excited about growing that we oftentimes have to contain them. And in New Orleans and other towns, even Corpus Christi, I think, they're grown in the space between your sidewalk and your driveway in those little old houses where, you know, not little old houses, but in houses where there's that difference because they'll be contained. So, yeah, you can grow those there. Hey, Mabel, welcome in. What's going on, my dear? Hey.
Oh, I'm glad to hear from
you. I'm wonderful. It's great to hear from you. What are you growing?
I want to know, my tomatoes and peppers are doing good with it. But I want to know, you can plant now. You know,
well,
I'm calling for a lady.
Right now, it'd be eggplants and some more peppers. And I would probably say that if you're growing them in a container, you might even get away with some cucumbers. But otherwise, coming up in July, of course, you can plant everything again. But right now, I'm going to try to stick to the things that we need all summer for it to be hot. And that's going to be the peppers, maybe some okra, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, that's what I need to know about the okra. Okay. Yeah, my peppers and the tomatoes are doing good.
Good, good, good. I have my first ones ripening. I'm going to have BLTs tonight.
Okay. That's what Grace said, peas, because I haven't planted any peas or butter beans.
Oh, yeah. Do that next month. Do that in July.
Okay. And, what else she wants to know? She don't live here. She live in you ever heard of Louise, Mississippi?
Sure. We're broadcasting to Louise right now. Good morning.
She live in Louise. She saw my tomatoes, and now she want to plant her a little garden.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Enthusiasm. I like it.
So she wanted to know what she can put in pots.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now she can put more pepper plants and some eggplants and some okra in pots.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. I will see you. I'll talk to you soon. Do we have time? Can we talk to Roy? All right. Hey, Roy, what's going on in Brandon today?
Hey, Danny.
Good morning.
This is Roy. I got a question for you. We've got some tomato plants that are about 2 months old. They're anywhere from 3 to 5 feet tall, look really healthy. We've got them in pots and 5-gallon buckets, and several of them are even in raised beds, 4-foot raised beds. And we're getting almost no blooms. We have a few here and there, but not near as many as we would expect. Are we just impatient, or do we need to do something, or what?
What are you fertilizing with? What are you fertilizing with?
Miracle-Gro every 7 to 14 days.
Okay. Are the plants real good and green and got lots of leaves?
They do.
Stop fertilizing. Just stop fertilizing.
Really?
We've got a few more nights coming in Brandon that'll be in the 60s, and that is the opportunity for them to bloom. But right now they've got all they've grown. They're beautiful, but they need to get a little stress on them so they can set some flowers and then some fruit.
They need to get a little what on them?
A little stress. They need to. See, when we give them Miracle-Gro regularly like that, they're getting a whole lot of nitrogen, and they would love to grow leaves all summer. But you don't want them to grow leaves all summer. You want them to grow flowers and fruit. So let's back off a little bit on the leaf growing and give them the chance to go ahead and set some flowers.
Back off for what? 2 weeks? What? 3 weeks? What
3 weeks. I wouldn't feed them again for 3 weeks if it's me. I would water, but I wouldn't fertilize.
You wouldn't water?
I would water, yes. Absolutely water, not fertilize.
Okay.
Let me know how it goes.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I sure will. Thank you, Nana.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you today, Roy. You know, it's funny. We want to take care of our plants, and sometimes we get a little too nice to them. Quickly, before we get dumped out of here, there's one more question about Queen Anne's lace and how do they get it to grow on the roadside? Well, it is a reseeding plant in its own world. It's also, however, an annual. This is related, of course, to parsley and that whole family of plants, carrots, that entire family. But they have very deep rhizomes that also help them. But if you want to grow Queen Anne's lace, what you need is a roadside kind of bed, not great soil, just well-drained stuff, and go ahead and start some seeds. Do it 3 or 4 times. You'll get them to grow, and then you won't be able to get rid of them. I like that. Eventually, I'll get the phone call. I can't get rid of them. We're not going to get rid of you, but we are going to go away and come back for another hour of the Garden Mama Show.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Hey, John.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
What a beautiful time to be a gardener. Oh my goodness. For those of you who are kind enough to grab us on supertalk.tv, nobody has guessed yet what this is behind me today. It's because the flowers are not open yet. I will reveal, however, perhaps it may intrigue you enough that you will come on over and give us those numbers that we like to have on the supertalk.tv thing. This is Cashmere Bouquet. It is a plant that, frankly, not everyone likes. In fact, most people don't. And this is giving me the opportunity to tell you the difference between invasive and non-invasive plants. People will tell you that because it spreads underground and because it can tolerate just about any circumstance and still carry on and bloom, that Cashmere Bouquet is invasive because it will displace other plants that have been there. However, you can get rid of it. It's a challenge sometimes because it's a bully. But in terms of a late summer, mid to late summer flowering plant that the butterflies really love, you can't beat it, first of all. And indeed, if you give it a space where it is contained, it's kind of like the Ruellia, the Mexican petunia that I spoke about in the previous hour. Someone wanted to know if we can grow those in Zone 8. Yes, of course we can, and indeed try to stop me because they are very, very bullish. They will take over a space. But I grow some of the white ones, which are not as bullish, in a bed with other plants. The purple one, though, they have their own little space where they can take over and duke it out with each other. Really nice plants are not always the ones that are perfect. They're not always the ones that, you know, bloom in the spring and die back in the fall and come back every year like the perfect perennials. My phloxes, Autumn Joy Sedum is probably the classic. You know, it's beautiful three and a half seasons of the year. It's so gorgeous. But the other piece of the puzzle is, what do they look like when they're not quite open? And this is the tight buds that we're looking at today. By the way, there's a thing in the corner of the TV screen today. We're going to do something with that. We're going to play with that. But that's mostly just for your entertainment and because, you know, Lance likes eye candy. So there it is.
Got to fill up all these inputs. You've got 10. You might as well use them all.
That's right. He's got, if they gave
figure
him,
out how to turn
if
a video
they gave
into,
him 17, he would be doing 17 at a time.
Definitely.
I know that. Beautiful picture from on our text line from Amanda. Let's see. She is, these are beautiful zinnias, but it's the picture is the vase is a creamer that was her mother's. And because of the way it's shaped, it looks like the elephant has a hat on of these beautiful zinnias. I love that. It's just adorable. It's a good one of the great ones that you do keep. Meanwhile, our dear friend Trey, he's watching his neighbor's blueberries ripen and wondering when they're going on vacation. You know you've thought about this. Can I reach over there and pick that peony? Can I have that one tomato? Oh, my goodness. Get to know your neighbors. They'll probably let you. They will probably let you. Oh, that's beautiful. Vince has got his beautiful, in Woodland, Mississippi, he's got beautiful wild irises growing where I don't want them. Can I split them and transplant to other areas? Yes, absolutely you can. And how about controlling lily pads? This is a lot of lily pads I'll give you, and I have to say I just love them. It looks like there might be a few more numbers than you would like. This is difficult because you understand that they not only they're part of the ecology of your space, and if we start just taking them out, you know, physically removing them, then we might get more fish, but we also might get more other issues that are not doing us as well. For instance, like algae and stuff, because what these things are doing, of course, is protecting the water and protecting the things that grow underneath it. I'm going to say if you want to start taking it out, yeah, you can do that. I'm going to advise you to get information from the pros, because there are people who manage this kind of material in waterways. Generally speaking, our wildlife, fisheries, and parks folks know these things. But I don't want you to start yanking and using a tractor or a bag full of chemicals either. It's a delicate process to get rid of them. It's hard work, and you can do it. But I'm not going to try and tell you how, because I'm not confident that I would give you the right information. It's tricky. I've been part of a process that did it, and I got water in my boots. So, giving you the real thing. Really pretty, though. Beautiful. I hope you'll get those irises moved as quickly as possible after they bloom. That's wonderful. Let's see. Well, hello, Rhett. Let's see. I don't know is the answer to this question. I planted this passion flower last year. When do I get to see some blooms? I don't know. I would think that you would have seen some by now, so I'm not exactly sure why. I've seen two or three of them blooming in places, and I've seen others where they were just vines growing right now. It is a summer flower, and despite the fact that just about everything else is blooming, which seems to be sooner than we would expect, in this case, I think this one might be on time. I'd look for it to set some buds. If you haven't given it a flower fertilizer, I see it's growing in the lawn, so it might have gotten some lawn food, which would promote a little bit too much nitrogen and therefore too many leaves. So you might want to give it another kind of fertilizer if you haven't fertilized it at all this year. Really pretty, though. Nice leaves. We don't always think of passion flowers as doing as well as we would like them to. I'm taking my hat off today, if I had on one. I'm celebrating Dick Van Dyke. He's 98 years old, y'all. Now, if you've never heard of Dick Van Dyke, I got to tell you, that's what they invented the library and the internet for. There's way too much to tell you about. But he is an American actor, dancer, comedian, producer, all of those things. And last night at 98, thank you very much, he won yet another Emmy, in this case, a daytime Emmy, which he had not won before. So I have to tell you that when you are hired to play the father of a character that is probably already easily 65, maybe older, who are you going to get? You got to get somebody that's 98, right? Or at least can play it. And in his case, he's 98. But the biggest thing is he danced off stage. He has the most beautiful white beard that anyone's going to grow, all right? And he said what so many people that I've encountered who were lucky enough to be still, you know, doing what they're doing at 90 or so, they'll say, if I had known I was going to be this old, I would have taken better care of myself. To which my response is always what my dad said. If I had known I was going to live this long, I would have acted young longer. So there's two different points of view there, either a little more or a little less. But in any case, Dick Van Dyke is now not only, you know, Emmy and Tony Award winner. And now he's another Emmy Award winner. That's wonderful. Cool on him. Let's see now. What else? Oh, gosh, the neighbor's blueberries. And today I wish my neighbors would come over the fence and pick some blueberries because there's a lot of them. This has been a beautiful year. I already have 6 quarts, maybe 8, in the freezer. I have been giving them away as gifts. And I'm also looking forward to a simple syrup made of the blueberries, which are applicable for all sorts of things. The syrup that I made a few years ago became a big hit on pancakes. So, does anybody decorate with red, white, and blue flowers for the 4th of July? Ann asks on the Garden Mama Facebook group. Yeah, there are one or two people, one or 2 million people that do. I just saw yesterday, in fact, in front of the grocery store, a display of red, white, and blue pots. Well, red, white, and blue flowers. All the pots were green, but the petunias were all in bloom. And I thought, I wonder if they'll still be in bloom on the 4th. Probably will. Let's see. Inez in Winona, when should I plant Vitex plants that I have rooted? Well, this would be a good time, especially if they need to be moved into containers. If you've already got a nice mass of roots on them and you're not ready to plant them out into the garden, you certainly can pot them up. But you can also plant them in the garden as long as you're going to give them some water in dry weeks this summer. Angela has gripeweed in South Haven. And truly, if we could just yell and scream at the gripeweed and have it go away, I would be able to get rid of everything. But it's not so. It doesn't happen. Gripeweed is pernicious. The biggest thing, and it's not invasive because it can be removed. It's not something that is going to displace other plants necessarily. But it will grow in areas where nothing else is really, it'll take advantage of spaces like between shrubs and spaces on the edge of your lawn and those kind of things. And just, if you let it go to seed, it's going to seed mightily, beautifully, and unfortunately, and then you will have 10,000 more plants. So I'm going to give you a hard piece of advice. The best thing to get rid of them is actually a sharpened hoe, H-O-E, because you scrape them at soil level and pull them out of the bed. You can do them with your hands, and I do a lot of that if they're around my other plants, but if it's in a patch, hoeing it out so that you're physically getting rid of the roots and the plant are really the most effective way to do it. Yeah, you can spray them, people do, but oftentimes they're growing around desirable plants, and the control products that you might spray, whether it's my vinegar or someone else's glyphosate, are probably going to drift onto the other plants, and you don't want that. So unless you're painting it on, you probably would rather physically remove gripeweed than to try to spray it. Oh, that gripeweed. Corinne says she's late on digging her container carrots, and they're now blooming. I'd like to save the seeds. You can do that. One of my parsley plants is blooming, and I'm going to try and let it reseed into its container. It did last year. I'm hoping it'll do that again. No problem with that. If I go ahead and dig them from the container and save the seed heads, will they continue to dry and be viable next year? I have seen carrots done that way, turned upside down, the same way you would do something else that you wanted to dry. But because the seeds fall out and there are so many of them, I would also consider giving them something to fall into, either a brown paper bag right underneath them or a plate or something. Just depends on how big the plants are and how much you're hanging up. But yeah, I would do that. I can't guarantee you that the seed will be viable, because carrot seed are one of the ones that are notorious for not being viable. But if you dry them and let them fall off on their own, they have as good a chance as you will have. It's an interesting one. Ooh, Jeff's got early girl tomato ripe. That's beautiful. Really, really nice. My celebrities are winning the race at my house. There's 4 of them in the windowsill. You can't water petunias enough. You're right, Paula. It's almost true. They also are not actually a full sun plant. When the wave petunias came along, you would go places and they would be planted in the median in a highway. And, okay, they did great unless you were in the Deep South. You can do that in Illinois. You can do that in even probably even in Kansas. But here, the heat and the in the summertime is just intense. And if they're not watered, they're going to fail. They will, however, make it beautifully as long as you're able to get the petunias some water. And those are very pretty. I like combinations of colors of petunias. I think that's a really good way to go. But I got to tell you, I'm such a fan of bubble gum, and I grow it. I have so much of it growing, hanging basket, big pot, all this stuff. That's the only one there right now. There's one little piece of a purple petunia, because I always have to have that, but not much of that. There are lots and lots of things that you can do right now. I hope that one of the things you're doing is to make sure your plants are mulched. We are in central Mississippi. We are now well past last year's entire rainfall totals. That means that whatever we get from here forward is more rain than we had last year, and there is more rain to be had. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a problem. So if you have issues in your garden that you think were fed by too much water, watch out, because they're not going to stop, I don't think, at least not this year. Paula agrees that the bubble gums are beautiful. Now let's see who this is. In northeast Mississippi, have burrweed. I'm going to presume that it is the stuff that we step on. It's known as sticker weed. We step on it, it hurts. Burrweed is another name for that. And I don't have a picture to refer to it specifically. What do I need to spray or do to get rid of it for next year? Usually most people will, first of all, be sure that you're getting it mowed off so that it isn't going to have seed heads to make more problems for you. And there also are pre-emerge herbicide products that can help with that particular one. Yes, you can spray it. And really, there are sprays that are appropriate during the growing season. And there also are sprays that are appropriate at the very beginning of the growing season. But most people will just try and control it by mowing it in the summer when it's there, get rid of it, and then using a pre-emerge the next year. Oftentimes we use pre-emerge twice. We use it in September and again in January, just depending on which weeds you happen to be trying to prevent. And that's a good choice. Oh, burrweed. What a mess. I do fertilize. Speaking of fertilizing things again and again, there are some things like the petunias that are hybridized and whatnot that really do need all that fertilizer. And so if you're growing those and they're blooming and doing fine, don't feel like I'm telling you not to fertilize. I'm not. I also will tell you that if your impatiens are getting tall and leggy from all this rain, you can cut them back at this point and they will just make a branched plant and get bigger for the next few months. That's a wonderful way of doing that. I would like to get a cutting off my parents' lantana. Any advice for success? Yes, a couple of them. One thing is to make sure you're taking a tip cutting, not down something in the woody part, but try and take a cutting out of the new growth at the tip of that lantana. Take a branch that does not have a flower on it, if you possibly can. Generally speaking, those will root a little bit more easily. I like to root lantana in soil as opposed to water, because I feel like the lantana is such a dry-loving plant that when we try to root it in water, sometimes it just closes up and rots. But in soil, it won't do that. Sandy soil or very loose soil is really perfect for that. Good choice to do, too. Let's see. I don't know what the answer to that one. Okay, I'll hold on to that. These are all questions from the Facebook page. Y'all are good at that, and so are they. Rhett says, yes, they are, most of them. Is the lantana that grows here like the lantana that grows in the California desert? It's not exactly the same, but yes, it's the same. He remembers them being shrub-sized. Yes, I have shrub-sized ones at my house here in Zone 8. Not this year, because I cut them back. I'm trying to get that area a little bit more under control. But for years, I had some that were 4 feet tall and at least that wide, because I ignored them. Then they got old, then they got spider mites. You know, sometimes you have to do something to help them out. They're making their way back now. That's lantana. We like them. We'll be right back.
have one voice, the voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra-help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, this is...
Today is National Gin Day. Actually, it's World Gin Day.
Like the beverage?
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was Gin Trash Day, but no, I guess you can get trashed on gin.
I was just going to suggest that there might be a connection there that you hadn't explored already. Do you know what gin is, my friends? Gin is one of those botanical spirits, but unless it has mostly juniper berries in it, it's not actually gin. It can be any kind of fermented grain. I think they usually do barley, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, but it has to have the juniper berries in it. You have heard me talk about my friends who are the foragers that are international foragers. They forage for juniper berries in very exotic and wonderful places. It gives them the opportunity to go and get some really great juniper berries and make some terrific gin for things like World Gin Day. Today is also, however, National Rosé Day. I don't know how those things get into the same deal, but I will say it's Best Friends Day, folks, so perhaps you and your best friends can have some World Gin and some National Rosé Day.
Oh, if it's rosé as well?
It is Rosé Day. But see, one is World Gin and the other is National Rosé.
The best, working in a bar for a little while, rosé, take some ice cubes out of the freezer.
Thank you.
Put them in a towel and beat them up on the ground until you get shaved, crushed, smashed ice.
Yeah.
Throw it in a good old cafeteria plastic cup so it's not too high dollar.
No, it's a slushie.
Yes, it's and then pour your rosé in there.
Oh, it's a slushie.
It's just a slushie. You can always add a little strawberry to that. It makes it really delicious. And if you like lemon, lemon and strawberry juice thrown into the rosé in a crushed ice cup. Like I said, just a plaque.
Will the blueberries make it better, too?
You can, and then garnish with the blueberries. You have some beautiful colors working, but there's something about that rosé with lemon and strawberry that work good. And I promise you, blueberry would be awesome, too.
Okay. So. All right. I'm going to hold on to it.
You can go get Carlo Rossi rosé in the jug.
It works
just fine.
It's a very reasonable purchase.
Reasonably priced, and then you get a moonshine jug to...
And then you can cook with it.
Yeah, like I said, then you get that huge jug. I think the glass probably costs more than the juice in it.
I'm going to have to talk to Mike off the air.
Okay.
Okay, so we will move forward. We will talk to Mike at the next break. Let's see. Goodness gracious, y'all are firing up the text line this morning. Thank you very, very much. It's wonderful to hear. I believe this from Randy. Am I right about this? I'm going back up here and look. Yeah, it is Randy. Y'all don't always put your name, but sometimes I can go back and find it. This is really good. Used to be a teacher in horticulture, and he's talking about rooting lantana. I knew that that's who he was, so I wanted to know if he was still doing that, because we don't think about teaching people to root things. One of the classes I'm going to be teaching next, the next couple of classes actually that I'm going to teach are going to be propagation classes. And I'm looking forward to that because people do want to do these things. And he's talking about using a 60-40 mix of perlite and potting soil to root lantanas. That sounds perfect to me. It's the whole idea is that stem won't be so wet that it collapses before it can put out roots. And at the same time, you can get water to it by continuing to do that. So that's really nice. Really good ideas. Super duper. Thank you very much for letting me know. There are a couple of other things that I'm doing that I don't know if anybody else is doing. I have, this is the point where, you know, I fought the fake onions. We have onions that pop up in our lawns and in our flower beds, but we also have false allium, which is not the same thing. Doesn't smell like garlic, it's just you pull it out. And I've been pulling it out for a couple of years since some of it came in with a plant that I put into that bed. Then it got all out in the lawn, but I've managed to take care of that. No, I didn't spray it. I pull and I paint a little bit of vinegar sometimes to take a particular plant out. But it has worked. It's not great, but it has worked. Now there's only these tan things left, little shoots coming up. And when I started to gather them yesterday, I realized that if I waited that long to pull them, I actually get the little onion, the little seed pod at the bottom, a little root pod at the bottom. And it's not like nutgrass because you can't pull nutgrass. It's not like dollarweed. You can't pull dollarweed. But the good news is that the alliums will let go if you allow the top to brown itself. So if you have either false allium, false onions, or you have wild onions that you're trying to control in your flower bed or in your lawn or something, take my advice, pull them and keep pulling them. And then when they get to the brown part, you'll be able to pull them out even more easily. I noticed that a lot of people are growing caladiums this year, and I'm happy about that. Caladiums are about the best thing in the world in a shade garden, that particularly a deep shade garden. They might be in front of that row of cast iron plants, or they might be with the ferns that you've got in that section, but they're going to bring bright colors, and they're also going to bring a different leaf shape in most cases because they are so heart-leafed. They'll bring a different affect. They might even make you want to walk back there and sit down and enjoy the space a little bit. I don't think that we talk enough about the fun part, the hanging out part, the sitting down and enjoying part, the looking at the flowers because you did all this work, the realizing that your peppers are hanging on the plant and they're not quite ripe yet, but isn't it fun to watch them? That's one of the reasons I grow in containers. The seeding area outside my house is surrounded with containers. There's a couple of beds there. Those are nice. But the containers themselves are the ones that are the more kinetic part of the whole business. Some of them are actually getting kind of big and full. Some of them are really lovely. And other ones I'm still having to encourage a little bit. But if you're not getting out there and just appreciating all this work that you've done, I think you're missing a bit. So give yourself the chance to enjoy it. Give yourself a chance to smile a little bit and then get back to work. Oh, that's such a beautiful picture of all of those lily pads. We have lotus in our reservoir. We have lots of different kinds of water plants, obviously. The biggest problem is really whatever's bothering you, because we do. There are places with water lettuce where it just makes one patch. There are other places where it moves completely into everything. We have quite a few different issues, and I'll do a little bit of research and get somebody to help me with that. The problem is that I know there are a lot of things that where the cure is worse than the condition. And I also know that when you want to fish and all you got is lily pads, you might not be getting in there like you want to. So I will see what I can do about that particular thing. If you've been mowing your yard for 3 months, please raise the mower height. It is it's the simplest good thing you can do for your lawn in the summertime. What we're doing each time we cut the lawn, which is just about weekly now, we're cutting at the same spot on that grass blade. And the little grass blade is, whatever it is, half inch tall, inch tall, inch and a half tall, depending on the kind of grass. But we're cutting it at that same spot. And they get a little ragged. They can also get just a little bit less, a little more reluctant to grow, I should say. And they won't be as supple and smooth as you want, for example, if you're walking barefooted or if you're going out to put a blanket down and enjoy the afternoon. So give yourself a chance to raise that height, that mowing height, by just one notch, and then that gives you the chance to cut at a higher point on the blade. It's only going to raise it up about a quarter inch. The differences in the blade heights are not that tremendous, but it's really a good idea to do that. And if you do it sometime in late June, or even sooner if you've been mowing the yard since February, it's a good idea to do that. Is it too late to put out weed and feed on my lawn? That really depends on the lawn itself. I'm going to say read the package. Sometimes we will do this, but if the weeds are not summer weeds that you're needing to control, it's not a timely process. We think of it as something to do in the spring to control the ones that are a problem now. And then there's issues with that too. I expect that there's weeds that will be a problem later in the summer. And for that reason, if you haven't fertilized your lawn, this might be the time to use weed and feed. Kind of depends on what the problem is or what the situation is. And it's not even always a problem. Oh, talking about talking about how to get stuff to grow that you want to grow. We seem to be busy today talking about things not to grow, taking, get rid of them, getting this stuff out of the way. But we've also got some things that we're trying to grow. And at this time, I walked yesterday past a bed of liriope ground covers that obviously didn't look too good. Maybe got frozen, maybe got droughted, maybe got 100 degree last year, and they have been cut back down to an inch above ground level. Whole bed full of it. And every one of them had new leaves on it. They just looked beautiful. Now, that's going to take a little while for them to come back. And if you're doing that, be sure that you are fertilizing. This is actually the place for the fertilizer device that you hook on the end of your hose and just start spraying that area to fertilize it, because that's about the only way you're going to get enough fertilizer to them. You may want to put some mulch around the plants that you're trying to regrow in this circumstance. But if you have a ground cover, if it's Asiatic jasmine, if it's the liriope, if it's whatever it is, and it still looks really bad from last year, go ahead and do that heavy pruning. Cut it down. If it doesn't grow back, you're going to have to put in new anyway, because it's not going to recover like it is. So give yourself the chance to give it all the hope that it can have. Cut it back and fertilize it. Let's see if we can't take advantage of this good summer weather to grow some, whichever of the ground covers it might be. I read an article this week that told me the, strangely enough, English ivy is a real big problem in Atlanta. People planted it everywhere, everybody's yard. And then it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew, to the point where it is considered an invasive plant and people are advised not to plant it. It's not technically invasive, but because it also can tear up the bark on a tree, it can degrade the wood on your house. You know, it does have other problems when it gets rampant. And in the case of rampant English ivy, it has stronger roots than you might imagine. But I was interested to see some of their control methods are very much the same as we advise here to control things like smilax and poison ivy, because they consider it that noxious. Cut it off at ground level, let it wither up on the post or the tree or the trunk or the house or the wherever it is, the other half of the bed in some cases, and then let that dry out a little bit and pull it out, and then go in and start cutting down this other one until it can't grow back. Or that's the point when you get that new growth coming back, that's the point where the sprays, or in some cases, propane torch, you know, different things will do that job. But it's not easy. So this brings me to describe to you the most beautiful trumpet vine in my neighborhood. It is growing on a pole at the gas station. And between that pole and the car wash next door, there are a bunch of wires. I have no idea. You can look up in the wires and see that there used to be something there, but I don't know what it was, and I don't think they can get to it anymore. But the trumpet vine has taken it over and is absolutely beautiful. Our plants want to grow, especially native plants like that one, want to grow. And if we just give them the opportunity, we can really make the most of things, even in the parking lot of the gas station, where it's nothing. It's growing on a utility pole. It's not like anybody planted it there. But because it did get started and did take hold so well, it is absolutely beautiful. I'm looking at a really pretty pot, a chiminea, on supertalk.tv. Looks like it might be impatiens in the top. I can't really tell. But the Lysimachia growing down the side of it is just beautiful. Creeping Jenny. If you're looking for a place to put that that lime green leaf, put it on something gray, let it grow over something that is blue, let it grow over something that's going to provide that gorgeous contrast. It's not something you want to turn loose in your every flower bed because, it's, first of all, it's overlooked. Secondly, it's not a very good living mulch. And, you know, it's not going to do so well there. But if you will grow it in a container or in the edge of a bed where it can spill over and bring that bright color, it's a wonderful plant, one to really enjoy. A lot of people like it. Other people don't, you know. Ooh, good question, Joe in Madison. He's going to make me be thoughtful now. Here's the deal. If we have another drought, what do we do now to get ready for it? He's got a sprinkler system and waters 30 minutes per section weekly. Anything else we can do? I would keep it to that level. There are people who will tell you that we should water a whole lot so that everything has it kind of in the bank. And if you are, for example, watering a new tree, a new shrub, and you want to water deeply and slowly more than once a week right now, that's okay. If it's not raining in your area and the soil feels dry, that's a good time to do that. But you don't want those plants to be so determined to have more water, so dependent on a whole lot of water that you then have to, that you can't possibly provide enough if we do have a drought. So give it a chance to be a little bit less than completely dried out, but give yourself the opportunity. Don't try not to increase that watering practice until you have to. And if you can leave it at that point, then when you have to, it'll be because we're actually having a drought. I like that idea. Joe's a good gardener. He'll get that one going. Wow, this is funky. We'll be right back.
Business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
If you are building a new home or remodeling an older home, Amazing Propane is for you. A propane tankless water heater, a propane generator, a propane gas grill and oven, propane fireplaces, even lighting. Propane, such a versatile, clean, cost-effective source of energy for any home. Propane, clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com to learn more.
Hey.
Do you know that? This is the best audience in the whole world. Creepin' Jenny on blue containers, blue pots with Creepin' Jenny falling out of them. These are great. Thank you for showing them to me today. I'm a big fan, obviously, and that's wonderful. I have two broken blue pots. I'm going to have to think about this. I need to put the Creepin' Jenny so it can fall over the broken part. Maybe I should do that. It would be very attractive. Oh, my goodness. Trey and his beans. Oh, my goodness. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes, yes, Ray. The bay laurel tree is the bay laurel that we cook with. Yes, indeed it is. And a wonderful tree to have. I have talked a little bit about mine over the years because it froze so terribly and then came back. I have to tell you, it's even tastier this summer. I don't dry them. I do have some bay leaves that are dried. I take that back, because there's always a few in the winter that I clip off and bring into the house just in case something happens to the plant. But generally speaking, I just use older leaves for the cooking, and it works out real well for me. It's probably just a matter of taste. Certainly that. Joe, you're funny. Thank you. That's sweet. Rhett's into propagating. Oh, that's right. Root that with some worm tea to help it root. Absolutely. That's a beautiful, beautiful apple. That's gorgeous. That's right. And sometimes that's exactly right. He says he just stripped off the bark and rooted it in the soil next to the tree that it was in, that mean next to the tree that it came from. I've done that with figs with great success. And I know people who can do it with apples. Now I know another one, I know Rhett, but I also know somebody who can do that with plums. That's very cool. Beautiful apples, by the way. I think that's just gorgeous. Really, really pretty. Thank you very, very much. Let's see. Lots of work to do. You're right. Oh, my goodness. You're so right. Thank you for listening. Appreciate that. Let's see. Now, here's something that, Lance, you're going to be able to answer more better, more thoroughly than I am.
More better.
Where's my English? What happened? What did I major in?
I can't answer that.
That's English and horticulture. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll be starting a new job soon and will not be able to tune in as I would love to on Saturdays. I'm going to miss y'all. But when I'm off, I'll be tuning in. You don't have to miss us. You just won't be with us live.
You just won't be live.
Help me with the info. How can you hear us otherwise?
All the info that you need. One of the great ways, and I practice this pretty regular just to check, but go to supertalk.fm. If you want the simplest, easiest way, just go to the website, go find Garden Mama, and you can go to the archives there within the show and pick what you want to watch. I generally title everything by date, so, you know, if you missed a day and you know
that day.
And
he's trying to get me to write summaries of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, eventually I will do that. Right now you have to kind of pull through them.
But if you know your date, if you know you missed a day, you can go straight to that.
Mm-hmm.
You have other options as well. If you do not have the SuperTalk app, I would download it because it
is
an excellent tool.
Yes.
And if you don't want to go to your web browser, which is an excellent way to do it, but you can also just click on the app, do the same exact thing, go shows and find Garden Mama and find the show that you missed.
You can take me with you in fact, more of me than you might want.
Yeah, and if you're at work, get you a good couple, you know, get you a set of earpieces.
That's right.
And sync them up and hide your phone. And you can turn Garden Mama on and listen live.
Are we encouraging such? Yes, we are.
Of course. Yeah. I'm not on the hook for this. So, yeah, no, in seriousness, though, any way you want to catch it live on the app through the web browser, those are going to be available for you. Generally, it takes probably on a two-hour show, 30 minutes or so for the system to let it download the app. To the app or to the browser. But you know, just give it a few minutes, and then you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So and then as Garden Mama, you know, gives summaries. I usually do try to update those in mass. So you know, if you know you missed something specifically out there,
I have one friend who has who had to work every Saturday because he had a business, and he cassette taped me for years.
Wow.
Somewhere there's a treasure trove.
I'm a 8-track fan. I mean, you know, I would love to have an 8-track in my
upshake. I'm happy to say that I was not on the air in the 8-track days.
I remember. I mean, my first car had an 8-track, and that was like after the point where 8-tracks were usable. We had like two of them. I think it was Sly and the Family Stone and Kool and the Gang.
Go. There you go.
So, you know, at 15, I was christened on some really good music when I was driving the 76 Chevy Orange with a white roof truck. You know, I mean, they just don't make things like that anymore.
Great.
I mean, orange trucks with a white roof.
Yeah, of course. Actually, I know someone that has one, but there you go.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Some fun stuff. I think that there are times that you say yes, okay, to your kids, and you regret it later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that my mother regretted when I said, can I put an 8-track player in this car? And she said, sure, because she didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
We're digging the holes into the door to put the speakers in. She was a little taken aback, but it was a great sound.
Back then when you customize everything, now if you do that, you've ruined your vehicle.
Yeah. Back then it was a custom job. Slightly better than it had been, you know, put it that way.
Oh, I remember the days where you'd pull out the old stereo system that came with it that was junk. And you'd go get like a Pioneer or something.
The factory model was never the best.
You were okay if you had the AC Delco. You were okay. Yeah, that was fine.
Sue in Lousdale has some beautiful plants. I think these are calatheas, but I could be wrong about that. They are very, very red. She says they're looking a little bit droopy, and they are. I think they're just in too much sun and heat. I believe if you will move them to back up closer to the house on the porch, and maybe they're getting rainfall, maybe they're not, but I do know that they look like they are both dry and too hot. So I'm going to give them a slightly sheltered environment and see if that helps after about a week. I believe it will. I think it probably will. See, there we go. We're going to, you've just given her permission to listen to the radio at work, which, hey, as we all know, is, you know,
and I, as
it's kind of iffy.
As I mentioned iffy. Before, yeah, the rosé slushy.
You know. You know, there are people that are going to tune into little pieces of this and they go, what are they talking about? Oh, yeah, it's gardening. That's right, because guess what? Gardening is part of your life. Gardening is a piece of your life that ought to be happening all the time. I don't care whether it's rosé or go to work or whatever it is. You're a gardener, and that's what you put forefront, put in the front face of your head. No question about that. I have definitely been looking at thinner clothes, looking at better insecticides for my, you know, things like the whole business of the mosquitoes and longer days and things in the garden. I like the morning. I like the evening. I realize that's when the mosquitoes are the most active. So, yes, I'm sprayed up with insect repellent, got on my sunscreen. I feel like I'm going into some kind of battle, because you are. You need to take care of yourself. I don't care if you're wearing a big hat, if you're wearing gloves, all those things, all of these pieces of the puzzle that come together that make you more comfortable in the garden. But I got one more for you. A portable fan. I'm not kidding. I have a portable fan now. Now, it's not going to work at noon in July, all right? But it definitely makes things a little more interesting in the morning. It was so wet the other morning, I needed to go out and do a couple of things. So I just took the fan with me, turned it on, and it was amazing. It didn't dry anything out. It just kept me from being quite so humid. Humidity is a tough thing. I really do worry about the folks farther north that have no idea what it's like to have 80-degree nights and 95% humidity. Are we going to be able to teach them anything? Well, sure we are. That's part of the reason why this thing goes all over the world, everywhere you want to be. Appreciate you being here today. Thank you so much. I love getting your emails. I love hearing from you here. And, of course, both in verb and in text. It all works for me. Thank you, Lance, for another great show. You guys come back next week for the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember, they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you, too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.